You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you are just joining us. If you are only tuning in, you missed an interesting panel discussion. Again, thanks to Father John Joe, Dr. Joe Kelly, Eddie Grant, former president of the Students' Union at ATU, Letterkenny. You can always watch back that item on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, or you can podcast it on our website, highlandradio.com. All right, let's get to some of your comments. Great panel on today. It's great to see a balanced conversation. Good morning. Brilliant, insightful and balanced debate on Highland Radio this morning. The Friday panel is must listen to radio. Would Highland facilitate a conversation in the future about the potential United Ireland, the pros and cons, maybe with a Northern and Southern Nationalist and Northern and Southern Unionist adding to the conversation? Keep up the great work. I would be very open to that, but I'll tell you what I'm even more interested in as well is a conversation about the practicals of it, okay? And I've said this before, and I apologise in saying that, but how does the postal system work? How does employment work? How does it affect the Irish economy? How does it affect the Northern Irish economy? What does it mean for our health service? What would that mean to, you know, people's health in Donegal in terms of cancer treatments? Would we have Alt na Gelfin as a centre of excellence? Or do you know, what about road spending? What about rail, supporting the rail network up in the north? And what could we, if that was the way we were to go? You know, those are the types of questions that really, when it comes down to it, I think a lot of people might actually be voting on in a referendum rather than the green or the orange, if you know what I mean. And I know that I don't even like using that phrase, but it's just to try and sort of make my point. A caller says, King William of Orange brought in the penal laws against the Catholics and also the Presbyterians. The Presbyterians unbelievably choose to celebrate this. It's madness that Catholics would agree to celebrate 150 years of abuse, as that texter frames it. So we have a bank holiday to placate people who burn the Irish flag and burn images of our democratically elected people? Really? Asks a listener. Another, most Catholic residents in Northern Ireland have no desire to have a united Ireland. I mean, we do have surveys that suggest that's not the case, to be honest with you. But there are different groupings in Northern Ireland now. There are, you know, maybe people who don't support either of the main nationalist or unionist parties. Alliance is one of the fastest growing parties. There are people that will make a decision based on how it might affect their business, not necessarily which church or chapel they do or supposed to go into, but perhaps even don't. Greg, what do your panel of listeners think of Minister Norma Foley saying that children who do not participate in classes of the new curriculum, they could require evaluation? Another, hope teachers get proper in-service and upskilling to deliver this complex programme. Huge differences between a specialised RSE teacher having a class discussion and, say, reading material from a textbook in a woodwork room, science lab. I hope schools are given proper resources to deliver this course, allowing all pupils to get an equal insight. As there's a million with an Irish background living in Scotland, and St. Patrick's Day is not a public holiday there. Another, did you not see the TikToks of the carry-on at Orange Marches on the 12th? No way do we want that sectarianism celebrated. The speakers never explained Orange bigotry. Another caller says, it is true. Donegal has the largest population of Orange men on this island. Not hard to know where they live. Just look at the largest acreage, is what they're saying. Okay. Hi, Greg. 25 years of the Good Friday Agreement, yet the peace wall's still in place in Belfast. Does that not say it all? Both communities need to be integrated so that they become familiar and break down notions about each other's traditions. From Liam. Yes, Liam. And again, I don't understand, and there don't really, I do understand, but I don't believe I have a rich enough understanding of the nuances to sort of insert myself in that. So my simple approach is that, and it's notional perhaps and unrealistic, that we need to sort of start making sure now that we are laying the foundations for this generation, the next generation, the generation after them, to be able to live respectfully of each other, respect each other's traditions. You know, not necessarily wave them in each other's faces. That could be, you know, on the 17th of March, or it could be on the 12th of July. I don't know. You know what I mean? But recognize everyone's culture and history, but not hate each other. Respect and morals have been lost in this country, says a listener, and across the world. If respect was alive and well, we would have less domestic violence in the home, less rape and child abuse. And I mean by both sexes, not just one side or the other. With regard to the topic about gender and sex education, how did humans exist on this planet for millions of years and not have all this information? And it is disabled people not part of this gender equality. They are denied the right to live with what we call a normal life, and there's no group to talk or give them their rights. I mean, there's, I take your point. I won't even comment on it. But for millions of years on this planet, there were, and even right now, there are cultures that it's perfectly normal. Some of the stuff that we're talking is perfectly acceptable within those cultures, and for, you know, centuries there is reference to this type of stuff, so it's not brand new. Personal moral and religious values are supposed to be protected in our constitution, but these values don't seem to get much respect from many media sources. Another, parents must stop and take more time to be involved in their children's education and know what and how subjects are treated. Joe's well informed, and I never had much time for certain psychological experiments. Okay, so like I agree that we need to, and to some extent we try and do it on this program. We do try and emphasise the importance of us not necessarily say what I would say or what someone might say, but to inform ourselves because it's our children. Don't be naive, Greg. There are weirdos out there who do have an agenda to corrupt and exploit children. To what end, though? What is the... Like, we have at the moment in this country, like, we're fearing what could happen. We're fearing what could happen. But look at our history. Look at our history of our how we cared for our children. Look at what's going on at the moment. Look at the statistics in terms of children who are abused still, children who are neglected when they need mental health supports, children with needs, additional needs. The supports aren't there for that. Look at how we now are right live now and historically treating our children. It's not really very, very good. You look at the statistics, we're letting them down at some point. So I would love to see us focus on making sure that children right now are cared for as best as they can be cared for, that they're protected from horrible individuals that would rob them of their innocence, that we make sure whatever it takes that we fully resource services to make sure our children have the best supports to have the most productive and happy lives. Rather than worrying, and I'm not saying it's not happening, but we're worrying about this big bad wolf and what they're trying to do. My word, look at what's happening now live. And no one, well, I mean, that's no one wants to talk about. That's not the case at all. But, you know, we're in the here and now as well. I would love to see attention there and the anger there and the fury there. You know, I get it. Go into libraries and take books out and scream about what about the children. Yeah, but let's also get on the streets and say where's the money to support our children now? Where is the resources to ensure that Tuesday can support children and is actually doing it right and productive for the children and their families? Where is the supports to make sure that children aren't being exploited or abused and that they're safe in their beds at night? I'd love to see people also focus on that as well. The agenda is population control, says a listener. Heterosexual relationships interfere with population control. Same-sex relationships and abortion control limit population. It's that simple. I really don't understand how we can't have a referendum on mass immigration. Poland and Denmark has announced plans to hold a referendum on the EU migrant deal. If you look at some of the policies, what we are looking at the moment in terms of, you know, paying fines to not take migrants into this country, there's another pan-European agreement that I think we haven't quite signed up to yet. It doesn't get any coverage though, but there is some moves that might limit those numbers, I believe, into the future. Please ask Mr. Kelly if he's ever listened to Joe Duffy on our national broadcaster. Of course people can talk about anything without being shut down. Right, okay. I'm not going to get into a tete-a-tete, but I think so, but that's kind of at odds to what I've heard, and I don't mind. I enjoy him rowing with listeners. To be honest with you, wouldn't be my thing. But if you think of, there's a few subjects there now that I just don't think would tally with what I've heard with my ears. But anyway, look, be that as it may, we've got plenty to come up on the programme today. Alan O'Reilly of Carlo Weather is a regular contributor to this programme, not always bringing good news of late if you're into hot and sunny and dry weather, but he's actually in Donegal holidaying at the moment. So rather than getting him on the phone, we're going to get him into studio. He's going to join us between 11 and 12. The band is back together. Michael and Fionnuala return as a double act for the first time in what seems like weeks, because that's precisely how long it is. And of course, Tony Forrester is going to be joining me very shortly too, to talk about the Chamber Awards and how you can enrol in them and what role you might have in choosing the winners, and looking forward to what's going to be a big night later in the year. There's that and so much more besides, so stay right where you are. We will be right back. Right now, just got a lovely I'm a little bit late with this. I got a lovely card in that reads as follows. Dear friends, I would like to thank you, all my family and friends and good people, especially my goddaughter Kira, Mary, Maggie and all who helped on my 60th party on the 12th of June, to my special friends who sent cards and gifts, and to Daniel O'Donnell for the special message. To all my friends I work with, thanks for a great night. Thank you, Mum and Dad. That comes in from Joanne Doherty. Please play Daniel O'Donnell. Well, I'm not sure I'll get to him, but if John doesn't, I'm sure. She's tried to bribe me with a tea bag. Look, but it almost would make me do it. Well, we'll see how things go. Right, okay. We are joined in studio now by Tony Forrester, who is CEO of Letterkenny Chamber. Hiya, Tony. Thanks.
Hi, Greg.
For joining
how are you?
Us. Great to have you in studio with us. Right, okay. So the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards 2023 is up and running now, and it's all about celebrating the best of business in all of Donegal.
It certainly is. We've been running them for 10 years, maybe 10 years now. And this is really, they're growing every year. And it's really about excellence in business. People doing great things, you know, around everything really, investing in their people, sustainability, marketing, and a whole range. So we have about 16 awards.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you talk about the 10 years, Tony, because obviously there are some mainstays that stay the same. But there's been some amount of change too, hasn't there? And the awards over that decade have adapted to recognise that. But it's been really rapid change. I say, we have our core traditional sort of businesses, but, you know, it's the expansion and the diversity is massive now.
It really is. And people are cleverer, really, at how they do things. But there's I mean, particularly in this last year, we added investing in people and workplace of the year. Now, why they're important is that retention's really important to businesses these days. You know, hiring's difficult, and then they hire, but they want to keep them. So people are investing, they're looking at their people and saying, what can I do to make you stay, to make, you know, make you want to be part of our business? And so the investing in people one's all about career progression. It's all about training. So, and businesses are doing fabulous stuff for that. And we actually, I was just visiting business yesterday, and that's one of their key strategies. And workplace of the year then is really somebody who's at this great culture. You know, and
to see the value in staff, in employees, because there is a culture whereby you keep your staff down and then they don't come looking for this and they'll come looking for that. But that's where you end up with the huge turnover of staff. You look after them, and obviously you reward them within the means, of course, of your company. But that's the success to a company too, isn't it? It's the customers and it's the staff.
If you go into some places and you can just feel that they're all in together, everybody's working together, and everybody kind of knows what the mission of the company is. And that's really important. That they're the two that we really wanted to add. And they're exciting and they're good, you know. But and some businesses might think, oh, no, sure, I'm small. I can't. That's not really our thing.
Yeah.
But actually, when they start delving down into their business, why have they kept their staff? Or I was talking to a business the other day, you know, some of them have been there for 24 years, for the whole length of the business, and they love it.
Yeah.
So there's something in that we want to capture.
For sure. And before we run through, you know, the process a little bit, a word to the sponsors. You know, you've got some brilliant sponsors on board again, which a testament, which is a testimony, I think, to the place that these awards are held in, because, you know, it's not easy to get all these big names and some medium-sized names involved. So they have to buy into this as well and what you're trying to do, Tony.
Yeah, so we kept about, I'd say 90%, maybe more than that, of our sponsors from last year to this year. And even through COVID, a few stayed with us, which was interesting. But yeah, we've got every, you know, we've got a big range of them, and they, most of them have been there from the beginning. But last year, interestingly enough, then we got approaches by a few people. Oh, I'd like to be part of that.
Great.
You know, and that's part of what we make another category.
Great endorsement, actually,
Doris.
I was looking forward.
Yeah, amazing. And Airgrid have stayed with us. They came last year and they're staying with us this year and probably next year as well.
Yeah.
As our overall sponsor. But, you know, we have the banks who love this kind of thing.
Colabs in there as well, which is about innovating, supporting, creating. Linra Electric Cannon's good too, because that's about the future, but it's also a nod to our traditions and our past. The airport, of course, vital in terms of bringing people in and out. Highland Radio, the council, City of Derry Airport as well. I'm going to mention them all now.
I'm glad you're doing it.
You know what I mean? I feel like, well, Bank of Ireland, as you mentioned, FM Services, Optum, again, two great companies. The Donegal ETB, so that's the educational side of it as well. AIB, you mentioned, Dillon's Hotel, Donegal Airport, as I mentioned, Permanent TSB, Pigeon.
And they're new.
Yep, Airgrid, which are a significant sponsor as well, and the council supporting this.
And Donegal Local Enterprise.
Donegal Local Enterprise as well, Leo, the local Leo office. Yeah. Right, so then you're trying to hit on covering all the important elements of business, the work within the business, what they do. You've got the Hall of Fame, which is always a huge honour for anyone to receive that, I'm sure. And then the Business Person of the Year too. Covered. I think
we've always done those awards, and they're the exciting awards. Now those two aren't competitive. Well, they are competitive. We get nominations for those, and the judges pick between whoever we get. Mostly nobody knows except a few people.
Yeah.
So on the night it's lovely. They get honoured. They know they're getting it, but they don't tell their families.
Right.
And it's one of the highlights of the night. We always get a standing ovation for everybody. And it's funny, you know, even businesses that maybe aren't as well known as others, it's lovely. And Hall of Fame is one of my favourites.
Yeah, and as I say, an eye on the future, best new business and young business person of the year as well, because you know you need a conveyor belt of innovation and
And they were new. The young person in particular, I think we've done that slightly before, but we want to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's for people under 35. And interestingly, we're getting applications in for that, so we're delighted.
Yeah.
Business, I suppose, I would pick out marketing. It's funny. Marketing is everybody does it. And I think sometimes people underplay it.
Yeah.
So we'd love to see people sort of look at their, you know, what do they do with their marketing and put some applications in for that. And I mentioned the other two. Health and wellbeing is we've changed. So anybody who maybe has been in for that before could look at that one again.
Yes,
because that could be anything. Could be somebody running a gym. It could be a dance fitness thing. Somebody who's working with community to improve their health.
Recognising an outstanding small business, doing business through Irish, that one's specific to Letterkenny, if I'm not mistaken, but outside of that, it's not. The Retailer of the Year, Sustainable Superstar, Investing in People, which you've referenced, Best Health and Wellbeing Initiative, as you mentioned there, Excellence in Customer Service, Business Excellence, Excellence in Innovation. So in terms of nominations, as you say, they're coming through. You want businesses to say, you know, there's a really, we're talking about marketing. Here's a marketing opportunity for you. Sometimes you have to shout for yourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, we always talk about marketing as, you know, our business is telling your story. And that's what these awards are about. You know, tell us why you should win. And we've simplified it all this year, I have to be honest.
Okay.
And that was pushed to do that. So there's two questions that are very specific to the award, and then there's two like, who are you and why should you win? So it's simple enough to do. But yeah, I think people are a bit reticent sometimes to talk about themselves.
It's a cultural thing,
it is.
I think.
And but if
they might think I'm being big-headed. No, no, you are working in a difficult environment. You're doing brilliant. Mm. Celebrate it. You know, be proud of what you're doing because we're proud of you.
Yeah, we all go into businesses and go, oh, wow, look what you've done over the years.
Exactly.
So all we're asking people to do is say, I've actually done that and I'm great. And people love awards for their websites. They loved having, we even find people who didn't win, they like having that kind of little stamp on their website. And that's really important. When you go for tenders and all of that kind of, you know, putting in quotes for things, people go, what have you done? Well, we won an award. And that's, and our awards have fairly good stature now. So
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's really
so
just
you look
talking
at,
about
you look
yourself.
At the list, right, and mm-hmm. it's a relatively short list, and I've got my business, and I'm going, right, well, I run kayaking tours. Where do I go in there? But, you know, I mean, you will figure that out. I mean, I would stick that in probably in best health and well-being initiative.
Or tourism,
sorry. That's mm-hmm. exactly the one I was thinking of. It was actually. Or it could be excellence in marketing if you've come up with a quirky way to get your message. In other words, the point I'm trying to make is that your business fits in here. Just have a look through and go, right, you know, and I suppose that you well used to think outside the box in terms of business, but if it's not initially obvious, There's definitely a slot there
for everything.
No doubt
and
about
and
it.
If somebody's a bit confused or wants a bit of information, just give us a ring. Now, so I don't know if can I bring this up now. We are extending the closing date.
Bro.
So today was supposed to be our closing date, and we've decided we've got a huge response,
Brilliant.
But we get more.
Yeah.
And with the summer holidays. So we're opening for another 2 weeks.
You know the way it is. We always have to extend it on everything because
Lastminute.com.
No, I'll do that next week.
Yes.
And you need to give people that extra little
And
kick
I will
the
be I'll put my hands up and say I had to apply for awards earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And I left it to the last minute.
Right,
too.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
So we
I think
two,
everyone probably knew these things get extended, don't they?
So we try and it's great to be here to be able to say that. Yeah. So people have 2 more weeks, but I would just say do them. If you're thinking about doing today, do it today.
Right, I want to make sure the message is incredibly clear then, Tony, and not because of you, but because of me. So what we're doing at the moment, we're talking about the Letterkenny Chamber Businesses Awards 2023, which are hugely prestigious, and even being involved, shortlisted, you don't have to win. It's a fantastic marketing for you again for lots of businesses out there. It's a call to businesses to go onto the website, which is
letterkennychamber.com/businessawards.
And you look at the categories and you click in, you say, right, my business goes in here. You have to, you're encouraged, you must market yourself by saying, this is why I'm good. This is why I should win. Don't be worried about that. Exactly. And submit your application. Mm-hmm. Now, people have, how long is it?
Until the 28th of July.
28th of July, right. So it is a much more simpler process. I don't know. That's what Tony's saying. So it'll not take too much of your time, but go in there and say, you know what? This is why I should win. It's about time more of us start doing that. And some are great at it, but level the playing field. Everyone have a go in it. Okay, so that's that. And then what happens next? So
then what happens is we will have a judging panel, probably towards the end of August. They will then shortlist. So they'll take 3 for each category.
Yep.
Then those three will then be showcased over our social media platforms over the month for September right through to the awards night, which is in November.
Yeah.
And then on the night, so we also then open it to vote at some stage. We just to get a bit of reaction from the general public.
Yeah.
And then we do a final sort of recce on it all. And then the winners are announced on our event on the 10th of November.
Brilliant, which is in the Clanree Hotel this year, a superb venue. That's the 10th of November. And are tickets available now?
Oh, yeah.
What way? So people can secure their tickets.
Yep.
And it's €75 per head, which involves a full night out as
well
as anything
out.
Else. A beautiful food.
And some dancing afterwards.
Brilliant. So get on to the Chamber website, which is, one more time,
letterkennychamber.com/business.
All right, okay. And, you know, if you've got 5 minutes over the weekend, make sure that you put your business forward for that. All right, Tony, thank you so very
thank
much
you so
indeed.
Much, Greg.
Back with more shortly. Now, as I mentioned on the show yesterday, I want to talk about, I want to give listeners the opportunity to have what they're talked about on this programme. And we're going to be talking about what is perceived as or is an increase in what seems to be really quite serious antisocial behaviour at times in Letterkenny. Now, this is not to say that Letterkenny is unsafe to go to or that we don't want to do any damage to businesses. That's not what this is about. But also what we have to recognise is that we are seeing more of really quite extreme violence in some videos that are circulating. They're all around there. People are discussing at their kitchen tables and forwarding them on to each other. So I wanted to sort of invite Councillor Jerry McMonagle along to the show. He's the chair of the Joint Policing Committee, but also a local councillor, just to get a sense of what he believes is ongoing on. Because, Jerry, if we don't talk about it, a perception can develop anyway, which can be really quite damaging, whether it's a reality or not. So we have to talk about these things, don't we?
Yeah, we do, Greg, and good morning, and good morning to all the listeners. And it is a topic out there, and people are very worried. They're getting annoyed at what they're seeing. There is an awful lot of bad videos going about. And, you know, a lot of discussion has been going on behind the scenes with Gardaí, retailers, council. But I think, you know, it's out there, and we need to, I think, as a community, collectively address this issue. It's getting very violent. We need to drill down to see what is the cause of it. And there's I believe, multiple causes. And it's not just a law and order issue. It's, as I say, there's a job of work there to do for many of our agencies and indeed our local communities, and also from a parenting point of view as well. So people need to come together as a collective. The agencies, the Gardaí, the council, we need to sit down and talk, and local community, and we need to try and formulate a plan of action to address this, because generally Letterkenny is a safe place. It's a great place to live in, work, and it offers so much as regards shopping and leisure, etc., etc. But we have this small core of people who are regularly involved in crime. And it's becoming more vicious, and it's starting to really worry people. And we need to sit down now and take stock of this. And where we can, we need to put the supports and the resources in to try to address the issue.
Yeah, because it's broad daylight. It's in between around cars. It's in shopping places where people congregate. There's call-out videos that are really quite brazen. You know, as I say, relatively isolated, but it's there. It's not up some side street at night. And I think that's what sort of people view that. And we'll see that as Letterkenny as a whole, which I've pointed out and you've pointed out, that is simply not the case. But you have to tackle perception too. And we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where someone is incredibly seriously injured, because people are getting kicked on the ground, kicked in the head, stabbed, and this type of stuff. So I get where you're talking about. We also have to talk about or address what societally needs to be done to support people or families so that people don't go down certain pathways and find themselves in certain lifestyles. But in terms of, I suppose, the more immediate thing, Jerry, would be, say, for instance, a policing presence, because that instantly offers some level of security, and then it's an instant deterrent as well. So in terms of that, have we had any words from the guards in terms, do they have the resources? Do they have the will? What's the situation?
Yeah, well, first of all, Garrick, I would like to commend the guards for their quick action, because in two of the instances that we're probably talking about, the people involved in that have been brought to court and are now facing criminal charges. And that's to be very much welcome. But it's a reaction to an incident or incidents that are happening. And what we want, and from discussions we've been having with the Gardaí in the chamber, is a bigger presence. More foot patrols, Gardaí more accessible, being seen on the streets, so that people feel safe, but also they prevent these type of incidents happening, as you say, in broad daylight or indeed in the evening times. So look, I know from talking to Gardaí, they are under pressure, and we have to say that. There's no other way to describe it. They don't have the current manpower that they would need. They don't have enough Gardaí. They don't have enough vehicles. And it's a battle every day for the Gardaí to put that out on the street and to ensure that there's adequate policing. But I have to say, with the resources that they have, that they're doing the best that they possibly can. But we have made it clear, and we had the commissioner up here, and we pointed out the difficulties that we're having in Donegal and have been for a long time, the need for more resources and all the different aspects of that, being close to 93% of our border with the north. We have a Gaeltacht, we have ports, we have airports. It's a very geographically widespread area. And to the next part, the new operating model, it's not going to work. And Donegal needs to be a standalone division. And we're making that case very forcefully with the commissioner. Indeed, yesterday was raised with the policing authority at a meeting that I was at with PPM members in Carrick and Shannon. So it is primarily a resources problem. But there's many, many other aspects. It's not just a law and order.
We'll get to that, but I think it's worth pointing out, Jerry, you would know, and I would know, that all of the challenges that we face here in terms of our border, in terms of our ports and what have you, these are arguments that senior Gardaí in Donegal do make to Dublin. They're, you know, I've heard the former head of the force say this in an interview. So they get it locally. They're making that same argument. The issue is here, and maybe it comes from a political pressure, or I don't know, is that the guards go, right, okay, or the head of the guards go, all right, we have to resource them. Because what we do see, if it goes on the news that there's a certain type of crime in a certain area of Dublin, all of a sudden resources get sent there. If there seems to be a particular issue in a border county and the press is all over it, all of a sudden extra resources are sent there. You know, we don't want a force that its resources are used reactionarily as to what's making the headlines. We need decisions made on the need on the ground, even, as I say, if it's not featuring on RT's 1 o'clock news. We need to be assured that that's how the police force is being run, I feel, Jerry.
Yeah, and look, when you talk about Dublin, like within, if an incident happens in Terenure, within 15, 20 minutes, they get 50 Gardaí there because they're all around Terenure. They're in the city centre, in north side, south side, east, west, Dublin. We have a situation here where in Donegal, if there's an incident in Carndonagh, we have to probably send somebody from Letterkenny or Dunloe or Ballyshannon. You know, I mean, the armed response unit is based in the south of the county. And they have to travel an hour to get there. You know, so look, I don't think they're looking at it in the round and treating everybody the same is not right. They need to look at Donegal as a special case, just like Kerry. Kerry is a standalone division and they've cited tourism as a reason there. I mean, it's nonsense that. I'm glad that Kerry is a standalone division, but we in Donegal need to, because of all of the points I pointed out, our geographic makeup, our closeness to the border, our ports, the Gaeltacht, islands, and our airport. And we cannot get extra resources. And I can't for the life of me wonder why that is the case, Greg.
Yeah, because it's not seen as a big enough problem to resource, I think. Okay, we'll track. Hopefully this is a period of time where we've had some quite high-profile stuff. And things will calm and settle down, and you know, we'll address that too. But as I say, this is not about discouraging anyone, but it's about recognising what people are talking about. Councillor Jerry McMonagle, Chair of the Joint Policing Committee, thank you very much for joining us. Councillor Michael McLafferty on line one, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. Good morning, Jerry.
Right, Jerry's just left us, but anyway, you are encouraging people not to share videos on social media.
I believe, Greg, videos of this nature is not helping matters, to be quite honest with you. I believe in some instances it's possibly actually fueling the fire as such. For example, if somebody's a video of a fight or a crime or whatever, my opinion on it would be, and my personal opinion would be, is your first port of call is your local Garda station and let them take it from there. Because I just feel that the more it's been shared, the more it's been viewed, it's only causing problems going forward. Also, as well, I would have a fear as well. I do wonder, I have wondered about these cases now over the last while, not isolated to the Kenny now, but just these types of cases in general that some have happened in the Kenny, they're happening all over the place and then they end up on social media. But I do wonder, as I was saying to Carolyn there, what happens when the day comes, if and when these people end up in court then? Is there going to be an argument then that their rights were violated then because they were videoed and so on without their consent? Does it fall between two schools under data protection? I know something that may need to be trashed out yet, but that's my fear about it.
And why somebody may think definitely maybe in a jury trial, you might have a point there. And I'm not in any way saying or encouraging people to share this information because I don't view it anyway. But maybe in a jury, in a really high profile case, maybe a defence solicitor could make that argument.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I see about it, Greg. And I just feel I don't see what is the point sharing this on social media or on Sunday to see. Like, it's not helping anybody anything. Obviously, there's people fighting, there's people doing whatever. That situation needs to be addressed. And I do wonder, when people take these videos and put them on social media, as their own choice, by the way. But I wonder, does the people actually go to the local Garda station and say, look, folks, I have this here. Would you be interested in taking a copy of it?
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, does that actually happen? Or is it just let go on social media and then left to the Garda then here? But it then obviously has been reported to them, the likes of the series ones, the last day and so on. And then the Gardaí have started then trying to trace or troll through social media then to try and find out then who is responsible for launching it, first of all, if that can be established or not. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, but that being said, it's a regular occurrence where Gardaí will appeal for video footage. They'll say, you know, if you've anyone videoed this or if they've got dash cam footage or CCTV footage, send it in to us. I mean, it's the mainstay now of any appeal across the country.
And I fully appreciate that, Greg.
So maybe it's
fully appreciate that, but it proves, yeah, that's fair enough, Greg, and I appreciate your point there. But again, it backs up the point as well that I'm saying, when the Gardaí are appealing for it, and they're rightly so to appeal for it, but clearly people are not volunteering it to them either when they're appealing for it.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
no, I understand we have well, to. Yeah, it's measured. It's measured. The right thing lies somewhere in between where we're at and maybe, you know, an extreme alternative. All right, thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Michael McClafferty, he's also a member of the Joint Policing Committee, of course. All right, some comments now coming in throughout the morning. Families in this country are crying out for children, yet the rate of abortion is high. There's too much judging in this country and it needs to stop. No one's in a position to take high moral ground on anyone else, indeed. But, I mean, obviously, yeah, okay. I'd welcome a referendum on mass immigration. The public concern on the issue is too great to ignore. The government must consult the people by way of a referendum. Well, that's been ruled out, but I take your point. You're not the first to make it. Trying to teach as normal something that the experts cannot agree on is utter madness. They say follow the science, but the science will tell you there are only two genders. How is that not confusing to an immature child? Why are schools pandering to minority and confusing our children? Surely it's a parent's place to educate their children on gender issues. Another, a lot of the content in this so-called revised sex education program can cause emotional confusion for young people who've already a lot to deal with growing up in today's world. But does that not come down to, and not an opinion, but a conversation, does that not come down to how it is taught? So rather than it being an option, you're taught and you're taught that people who identify as certain genders exist, and that's we're to respect each other. But that does not, would that kind of a conversation had in that way make someone go, oh, right, well, maybe that's me. It's also about how this information is related, isn't it? And we don't know that. So we're, and again, this is not a point of view. This is for a conversation point. We don't necessarily know that. So we're fearing, are we the worst? When maybe if we were to see it and understand it and how it's related, we'd go, right, okay, actually, you know, that's something might help my child going into college, that if they're sitting beside someone or friends with someone, that they have an understanding of why they feel the way they feel or why they are who they are, rather than not telling them anything and then them sort of reacting in a different way. And again, too, then there's a lot of parents want this to happen because they don't feel qualified or equipped to have these conversations themselves with their children. It's complex, and I'm trying to highlight the complexity in it rather than counter what a listener might say, if you get where I'm coming from. Just listening in as someone who is part of the LGBTQ plus community and who grew up in Letterkenny and went to the convent, we don't have any agendas. I was taught about sex by nuns. I was in my late teenage years when I finally had access to the internet and found information that was relevant to me. There's a lot of unsafe information on the internet, and everyone should be taught about safe, consensual sexual practices regardless of sexual orientation. And I don't think there's a great deal of dispute in relation to that. Okay, now, Tina Higgins is with me on the programme now. Tina, how are you keeping?
Hello, Greg. How are you? I'm good, thank you.
You're all stressed and up to high dough, aren't you, Tina?
Listen, first of all, Greg, I want to thank everyone in the town. Has been just absolutely amazing. The people of Letterkenny and outside Letterkenny are brilliant. And thank you yourself.
Now, we have a lot of eyes and ears here. Many of them are in Letterkenny, of course, but much wider than that. And the search is on for Ronnie. Ronnie's a rescue dog, probably through its experience can be really quite nervous, scared of strangers, yes, and very shy. So when did Ronnie go missing and when was the last sighting?
Ronnie, we were over in Barcelona visiting our daughter on holidays, and Ronnie went missing from the old town last Friday around 7 o'clock. And there were sightings of him going out to Polestar and the new Aldi. And then from that day, there's been sightings every day of him by the ESB plant and then up the mountaintop area. And the last time he was seen was last night coming down the mountaintop. So he seems to be coming out at night time between 9 and 10 o'clock.
Okay, and what does he look like?
He is a black and white Sprocker, so he's a mix between a Springer and a Cocker Spaniel. And he's just black and white, but he will run from you because he's really scared.
Yeah.
Anyone that comes to our house will know that. He's a very, very timid dog.
And anything else that's a clear description, but anything else distinguishing? Like, do we know if he had a collar on, or is he lean? Is he big? Is he tall? Is he small? I just want to make sure
He is very lean, and there's not any really distinctive detail about him, just that he's black and white. But if you do call his name, that he will run. And we've been told the best way to approach him is not to call his name, and that if you see him, just call us on our numbers and just to maybe follow behind him and just keep an eye where he's going. Because when somebody calls his name, he just darts and goes. Yeah. And that's why by the time we get to where they are, he's gone.
Yeah, and because he's being seen at night and you're getting the calls at night, I'm sure you're missing out on sleep and all that type of stuff as well. So in an organised way tonight, from 9 p.m, you're inviting people in the Fox Hills. You run through the areas, actually, it's best, because I don't want to miss any out.
The places that he's been seen are Fox Hills, Cannon View, Glen Tien, and Thornbury up around the mount, and Curralass, which is up there as a connect. He can do a full circle around there through fields and Wundy Hall. He's been seeing Wundy Hall a lot, so he's that circle. So, and even up the Glencar area, even by the Grange and Chestnut Grove, those are the areas. So he seems to be doing a circle around that whole area trying to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But he's being seen regularly, so hopefully now he's safe and well. It's just a case of you getting to where he's spotted before he moves somewhere else, because he's obviously quite transient around these areas. Listen, he has to go somewhere during the day as well, so it's very possible someone listening to us today will know where Ronnie is. Just describe him one more time for us, Tina.
He's a black and white Sprocker, so it's a mix between a Springer and a Cocker Spaniel. So he's just a bit bigger than a Cocker Spaniel. And he is just very timid. But thank you so much, Greg. Thank you.
No, Tina, listen, we hope you're reunited really quickly with Ronnie. And you're just asking people tonight in those areas he's mentioned to have a walk around, have a look around, and if you spot him. We have numbers here. If I read them out, I'm not sure people are going to be able to write them down. Any other way, I will read. Is there your Facebook page or something that we can direct people to, Tina?
Yes, my Facebook page is just Tina Higgins. Okay. There's a lot up on that. And
I'll also go on. I'm going to go on to your page and I'll share the one with the contact information on, so people, if they spot him this evening, will have access to the number through my personal page as well. And hopefully you get this sorted this evening and you get Ronnie home for the weekend.
Thank you so much. And to everybody, this has been amazing. We really, really appreciate it. Thanks a million.
All right. It's been one of those things, hasn't it, where all of a sudden everyone's taking an interest in supporting you. And
I know.
It's a reminder of how great we are as a community. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, hopefully now what we need, the only thing we need now, we know the community's great. We know you love Ronnie very much. We know everyone's going to, now all we need is getting back home. That ends the story then. All right, Tina. Best wishes to you and yours.
Greg.
And listen, fingers crossed. All right.
Thanks so much.
All right,
thank
Tina,
you.
Take care
thank
of yourself.
You.
All right, bye-bye. We'll be back with more after these.